For sure. All
All right.
right, I'm ready if you are. Am I
I'm
are you hearing me good like this?
hearing you great. Yeah.
Okay, well, bear with me because I'm gonna do this in my best Dinglish, Dutch English accent. It's been a while since I've been interviewing someone in English, so let's see how it goes. All right, I'm gonna get started. I'll introduce you in Dutch and then I'll switch to English if that's okay with you.
Whatever, it's your show, Charlie. However you
Yeah,
want to do
no
it.
worries. It's just positive things I'm gonna say. Okay, welkom iedereen bij de Manifestatie Podcast. Ik ben hier vandaag met een heel bijzondere gast. Iemand die mij heeft geïntroduceerd aan EFT tapping. Ik ben in contact met hem gekomen omdat ik een workshop van hem heb gevolgd hier in Amsterdam, die ik helaas moest verlaten omdat ik heel erg ziek was geworden. Maar zoals het universum altijd gunstig met mij gezind is, kan ik hem ineens interviewen in mijn podcast. Hij is een van de bekendste EFT-tappers in de hele wereld. En ik ben enorm, enorm dankbaar dat hij hier wil uitleggen wat EFT-tapping is en hoe hij zo'n ongelofelijke EFT-tapping-baas is geworden. Welcome to the show, Brad Yates.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. I couldn't have said it better myself.
I was gonna say, what did you think I said there?
I have no idea, but I'm trusting that it wasn't too negative.
Yeah, I put some secrets in there from you.
There
I
you
did some research to
go.
you.
Don't believe a word she just said.
No, it was just positive things, I promise. So, like I just said in the intro, I'm gonna do this in English now. So, yeah, you can actually understand what I'm going to ask you. That would be nice. But I always also said in the intro that you were the first one that introduced me to EFT tapping. I actually came across one of your vids through Haley Hoffman Smith.
Oh,
I think you were in her podcast, if I remember
yeah, I
correctly.
was.
And that's how I got led to your videos. And I was just hooked straight away because of your humor that you put into it. And you make it so accessible. And you really have a video for every single subject. Like, name it, and you have it. It's crazy. So I'm so grateful you have the time to talk with me today. I actually worked in a GP office before and I did a little bit EFT tapping with patients there for mental health. And I always redirect them to your vids as well to do it at home. So
Thank
I'm
you.
very, very grateful to have you on the show today.
I'm happy to and grateful to be here.
Great. Well, I always ask one question to start with, and I already asked you this. So you got some time to prepare a little bit. And that is, what is the biggest manifestation that manifested in your life? And it can be something really weird or something really mystical, but it has to feel more like a manifestation than a goal that's been achieved.
Right. And I often explain to folks, because I once talked about getting a car that I really wanted, and they said, but you went to the store and you bought it. So how is that a manifestation? And to me, anything that becomes available to us that we can bring it into our lives is a manifestation. Sometimes the process is more standard, and sometimes the process is more mysterious and magical. But to me, it's always a manifestation. But when you ask this, it's like, where do I begin? Because there are all kinds of things. I mean, I just look at so many things in my life and go, oh, that's a manifestation. That's I've attracted that on a daily basis. One of but one that came to mind, because I had a couple of things that were like over the years I've told stories of things, but there's one in particular. It's not necessarily the biggest one, but to me it was kind of significant because where I first heard about law of attraction, it wasn't called that at the time, just the idea of manifestation was in the book Illusions by Richard Bach.
Oh, I haven't read anyone yet. I thought I read them all, but good to know.
Oh, it's it when my dad gave me this book when I was 15, and it's what started me on this path long before I knew I was on a path. And some of my friends who were in the movie The Secret, like Bob Doyle, Joe Vitale, Mike Dooley.
Oh,
They've
really? You're
all
friends with them?
said Illusions is one of the first books that got them started as well.
Great. What was the title? I'll put it in the show notes.
Illusions by Richard Bach.
by Richard Buck.
So okay. On the video, that's my copy that's being amazing. Held together with a binder clip because I've read it so many times.
I love it. Okay.
So on the cover is a picture of a blue feather, because at one point it's about a messiah, a master of the world who's teaching someone, the author, about how manifestation and things like that work.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, oh, you just hold something in your mind and it shows up. And he says, just think of anything. He goes, okay, I think of a blue feather. And then and then they're at lunch and they serve, and he gets served a milk carton that says Blue Feather Farms. And it's like, oh, wow. So years ago, I was working as a temporary secretary at a law firm.
Yeah.
They had a number of us there just sitting around waiting, if just in case there was a need. So I'm sitting in this office one day with nothing to do, just waiting to be called up. And I thought, well, I'll just practice some manifestation. And just for the fun of it, I'll practice with a blue feather, because that had some significance.
Cool.
Because of the book Illusions. So I'm sitting there and imagining a blue feather. And then eventually it was time to go to lunch or something. So I get up to leave the office that I was in. And as I'm leaving, I see that the office that I was in, whoever's office it was, had a collection of little toys, like you get in a Happy Meal at McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of them was a blue chicken.
No way.
In other
way.
Words, a chicken with blue feathers.
Filled with blue feathers.
And I was like, whoa, mind blown.
Mind is blown, you know? Yeah.
And I started to sit there and go, oh, well, you know, it's this, and trying to belittle. It's like, no, I was thinking of a blue feather. What are the odds that something with blue feathers would be in this office when that, so.
That's crazy. Of, you know, like, what the are universe, the chances?
The universe just, you know, winking and saying, hello. This actually works.
I love that you give this as an example, because people always think of like the biggest things, right? Like, oh, I manifested 10K months or this house. But for me, it's exactly the same. Like, it's the little synchronicities that make it really special and really magical, that really fuel my manifestation battery, you know? And what's so funny is that you have the blue feather, but I have the same with the yellow feather. So I actually got a physical yellow feather, and I asked for two options, and I said, if I should do this, give me a blue feather, and if I should do this, give me a yellow feather. And then a physical yellow feather ended up right in front of my bike when I went to get my bike, and it was crazy. I still have the feather in my wallet every day. So it's so funny that you have a blue feather.
So and on the blue feather thing, a couple of years ago, I was thinking, you know what? It might be cool to have a tattoo of a blue feather, but I'll do it on my wrist,
yeah,
just below my watch band, so that nobody can see it except that I can occasionally see it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I'm getting a blue feather tattoo right below my watch band. And at that time, I was thinking of getting a new watch band. And I go on and I love the color teal. Mm-hmm. And so I found this kind of teal colored watch band. But guess what the name of the color was on the website? Blue feather.
No way!
So rather than getting a blue feather tattoo to go under my watch band, I found a watch band that was called Blue Feather.
Oh my freaking God.
Again,
this is insane. I love these kind of mind-blowing moments. That's amazing. So when did you actually get into a little bit of manifestation? Because maybe not a lot of people know this, that watch your videos just on EFT tapping for anxiety relief or pain relief or worries or stress. But you do have videos surrounding manifestation and law of attraction, how to attract more money.
I have a whole playlist just on law of attraction.
Yeah, yeah. That's why we got into each other's fields, probably.
But this is law of attraction.
Yeah,
that we've met. Right around, so when I learned EFT, I mean, obviously, having read Illusions at 15, I'd had the idea, but I didn't really think about it much.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got into EFT, I learned it at a conference in Las Vegas in 2000. I took a full day training with Gary Craig, the founder of EFT. The next
Oh, amazing.
Day, yeah, the next day I met a woman in another workshop, and we instantly hit it off and became friends. And that's Carol Look, who is the first EFT master. So she is one of the biggest names in EFT. I had no idea at that time because I had just introduced EFT the day before, but we've become lifelong friends.
How
now.
Cool.
But Carol was a big fan of Abraham Hicks. I believe she's the one who introduced me to the work of Abraham. And so that's when I really started to get introduced to the concepts of law of attraction, deliberate creation.
Oh, nice. And did you believe in it straight away, or did you have a lot of skeptical thoughts as well?
I was certainly open to it because that seed had been planted years before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there may have been some skepticism, but I was pretty open to it, and I could certainly see how it had happened in different ways in my life, and I could look at certain things like how I'd met Sir Richard Attenborough and gotten a line in a film, and the process in which how I met him and had that all happen. It's like I was able to look back and go, oh, that was all manifestation, that was all law of attraction.
Yeah, when you learn about it, then you start realizing like everything was a manifestation, actually. Yeah, because for me, I was quite skeptical, so I needed like hard proof that this was real. And then when I got it, I was like switched straight away from 0 to 100, and I just changed my whole life instantly. But let's get into the EFT tapping a little bit. So can you explain what EFT tapping is?
Yeah. So EFT is short for emotional freedom techniques, is literally a process of tapping with our fingertips on places primarily around the face and torso. And if you're new to EFT and it sounds a little strange, trust me, it's very beneficial. It's based on acupuncture. Mm-hmm. So we're stimulating key points in our body's energy system that have a lot of benefits, primarily down-regulating stress. So it helps to balance out our nervous system. So we just go through in EFT, we generally use 8 points. The eye, right, begin at the eyebrow, right at the side of your eye, right under the middle of your eye, right under your nose, right under your lower lip, just above your chin, right where the collarbones just about come together, a little U shape at the base of your throat, and you can make a fist and tap those, whole area. And about 4 inches below your armpit, it's right about bra strap level, and I'm sure even the guys listening can figure out where that is. And then the last point that we tap is the top of the head, and so I just tap with all the fingertips around the crown of the head. And so these are key points that are on these meridians. So for thousands of years in Chinese medicine, they've said there's a flow of energy through the body along these pathways that are called meridians. And when the energy is flowing naturally, we experience our natural state of health and well-being, physically and emotionally. And when we don't feel so good, that energy gets blocked and we don't think as clearly. And, you know, as Abraham says, the most important thing is that you feel good.
Yeah.
So tapping these points is one of the quickest, most effective ways to feel good, which is why it's such a profound tool for manifestation. It also helps to clear out whatever negative thoughts we might have about what we want. So early on in my EFT career, I met Dr. Joe Vitale, who was in the movie The Secret and was a friend of the Hicks.
Amazing.
And we created a program called Money Beyond Belief. And that was a total manifestation because that happened just before the movie The Secret came out. So that was really beneficial.
Really? How cool. You created that with him.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But we both had the same thing. We were both looking at the steps that Abraham was teaching in terms of manifestation, mm-hmm. but we were both adding in clearing negative beliefs because they were saying, think about what you want and then feel really good about it. And we were both saying, yes, but we consciously say, I'm feeling really good about this. You know, we say, I want $1 million. I feel so good about $1 million.
Yeah.
But so many of us, most of us really have some kind of negative beliefs about money. And that's in our energy system. So while, you know, our conscious mind is 5 to 10% and the unconscious is the other 90 to 95%. So if I have all these negative money beliefs, and I'm saying, oh, I'm feeling really good about money, I'm putting out 5 to 10, watts of positive money energy, and 90 to 95 of money's bad, I don't want.
Yeah.
Money's the root of all evil.
Exactly.
So that kind of manifestation from that standpoint is kind of difficult. You know, we look at our vision board and we say, I'm really excited about this. Mm-hmm. But part of us is going, you know, oh, that Caribbean cruise, you don't even know how to swim and you always get sunburned. And, you know, if you had that money, you're going to have to pay so much in taxes.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, that Maserati, do you know what the repair bills on a Maserati are? And
yeah.
So we have all these thoughts. So we look and go, yeah, I'm feeling good about it. But part of us is saying, we're going to make sure it never happens. You fantasize about it, it's fine, but we're going to stop it because it's not okay to have, it's not safe to have. And so those feelings come up as stress. And so tapping is a very effective way to downregulate that, so that when we look at those things we say we want, we can start clearing out all those reasons why we couldn't or shouldn't have it.
Yeah, oh, amazing. And this is why I think EFT tapping is such a magical tool, almost, because you feel instant relief. I have never been introduced to a tool like this that just creates such a quick relief in your stress, in your nervous system, in your belief system. And I believe 100% that we have to take our negative beliefs in with it, English, to manifest what we want. You can't just think positive thoughts all the time, because we're human beings and we're gonna have setbacks and we're gonna have difficult times in life. And your mental health is very important to take with you when you manifest, I think, and self-development. And that's why EFT tapping is such a quick and easy tool to learn for yourself, to really like get to the bottom of it. I actually introduced it to a friend who's in chronic pain, and she's really not that open to any of this stuff,
yeah.
But she was so much in pain that she was just open for everything. So I sent her a couple of your videos about chronic pain, and she was so amazed by how quickly it worked. She said her mood was better, her mindset was better, and she could actually see her body getting better. And that's what's just like, oh, it's so amazing.
Yeah, it's because most, if not all, of the things that bother us physically and emotionally are either caused by or at least worsened by stress. So when we have a simple tool like tapping that calms down that stress response, we can feel so much better. So if you had chronic pain, or if you're feeling pain because you had gotten cut or something like that, or mm-hmm. had a broken bone or something, I'm not saying the tapping is going to heal the bone, but so much of the discomfort that we feel is based on the stress. So if we can downregulate that stress, we feel so much better. And we deal with a lot of the painful thoughts that that come up around, especially when we have pain or illness, especially when it's chronic. We think about, I'm never going to get better. Who am I letting down? This is a disappointment. I'm such a loser for having this, whatever it might be. We might have all kinds of really uncomfortable thoughts that cause uncomfortable feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And as we can tap through to eliminate those, then we can say, okay, now I'm just dealing with what's physical. And it's a whole lot less than what was going on before.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And how you were saying about the founder, because EFT tapping, I've been introduced to it also by trauma therapists, actually, mm-hmm. that because EFT tapping is something that you can do at home, and which is why it's so nice to be able to do it. But can you tell me a little bit about why or how did the founder come towards EFT tapping?
Yeah, so it's an amalgamation of a lot of different things that have come through, but the tapping as we use it really goes back to Dr. Roger Callahan, who's a psychologist who was working with a woman with a lifelong water phobia, and she had been to therapists all her life. She was about 40, and she'd been working with Dr. Callahan for about a year and a half, and through traditional therapeutic methods, he could have her out on the patio near a swimming pool, but she had to be looking away, and it was, mm-hmm. and it was uncomfortable for her, but at least yeah. she could go outside where there was a pool. And he had just been expanding his horizons, learning different things, as hopefully we all do.
Yeah.
And had learned about, was learning about acupressure and acupuncture in the meridian system. And he said, let's just try something. He said, how do you experience the fear physically? And she said, well, it mostly comes up as a knot in my stomach. And he said, okay. So one of the key points for the stomach meridian is right under the eye. And he said, let's just see what happens if we stimulate that, and tapped under her eye just for a moment. And she said, it's gone. And he said, what's gone? And she goes, the fear. And she ran out of the house towards the swimming pool. And he's running after her saying, wait, stop. And she goes, it's okay. I know I don't know how to swim. But she got down by the water and started splashing water in her face. And she said, I feel fine. And naturally, Dr. Callahan thought, well, this is interesting.
What is this? What is this sorcery?
Yeah. So he started experimenting with different patients, having them tap different points in different sequences. In his experimentation, he found that with different emotional trouble, that different points in different sequences was beneficial. And he called this at first the Callahan technique, and then he called it thought field therapy, TFT. And within a year, he put himself out of business because all of his patients no longer needed his help. They're all like, we're fine. Okay. So he started teaching this. And one of his first students was a gentleman named Gary Craig. And Gary had gotten his degree in engineering from Stanford. And thinking like an engineer, he was looking at all these different algorithms that Dr. Callahan was coming up with and said, okay, if we're only using 8 points, what if we just tap all 8 points in a row and not try to spend a lot of time figuring out which points to tap? And he found that he got the same great results without coming up with different algorithms. So he just called this one-stop shop series Emotional Freedom Techniques, or EFT. And then he started spreading that. And that's, I took that training with Gary and then assisted him at a couple of workshops after that.
How cool. And you said in the beginning, like, that it looks kind of strange, right? And I feel like in Holland, there's still much progress to be made about things that may seem weird, but just try it a little bit, right? Exactly. And I don't know how that is in America, but I've told you this before, I think, at a workshop, because I went to your workshop for just a little morning because I got sick and then I had to go away. But I've gone viral before with actually a really positive EFT tapping vid about, clearing negative thoughts, having a great day, just a really positive uplifting EFT tapping. Mm-hmm. And it got picked out by someone that was very anti-holistic anything, and he has a huge following, and it just went viral for a whole weekend with many, many hate comments.
Yes.
Fun stuff. But I was wondering, like, how do you deal with this? Have you had periods where you were like, is this really strange what I'm doing? Do I want to go out there with this? How has this journey been for you?
Yeah, I had a bit of an advantage when I learned EFT because I started out as an actor. Yeah. So I was used to being seen in front of people, but also part of my training as an actor is I went to Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Clown College.
You said in the workshop.
So EFT was not the strangest thing I ever done.
I can imagine.
I had a little more unconventional background than the average person. So it was easy for me. And I certainly had that backlash. Years ago, Facebook was doing this thing where they were trying to promote video content producers. And they said, hey, we would like to promote your videos. I said, sure. And I said, just make sure that they always have a caption explaining what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Well, they seem to have forgotten to do that. And I didn't know, they hadn't told me when they were going to start doing this. I was at the airport coming back from some event that I'd been to. And I'm just sitting there in the airport looking at my phone and going through Facebook. And it's blowing up with all of these comments on Facebook. I'm like, wow. And a lot of them were really nasty. Like, you're an idiot. This is the stupidest thing.
Yeah, I got to say.
So what happened is they had put this out there. and to an unsuspecting public, and people were having their initial reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying some really horrible things. And I was like, wow, that's smart. So overall, over this short period, I probably got well over 200 emails that were, or messages that were really mean. I mean, I got a lot of messages, but a lot of them were really mean. But I picked up about 4,000 or 5,000 new followers. And people writing and saying, I don't know what this is that you're doing, but I feel so good. Thank you so much for doing this.
Aww.
So I just decided I am willing to suffer the slings and arrows of the 200 in order to help the 4,000 or 5,000.
That's such a nice way of looking at it. Yeah, that's really positive outlook on it. And I feel like that's exactly the message that I feel like as well. If you can help even one person versus the one negative person, then it's already worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And those people who, you know, who say the really nasty things sometimes become really big fans.
Yeah, say, true.
You know what? I thought this was the stupidest thing, and now I tap every day. And it's helped me in so many ways, because that the people who are most violently opposed to it are the people who might be most afraid that it will work, because
true.
We resist change. This is one of the problems with manifestation, is that we say we want, we fantasize about having something different, but it would be a change from what we have right now. And as human beings, we resist change. So when somebody comes along and says, hey, you can just tap on your face and your life can change, it's like, get away from me. You are evil. You back off. So that's probably a lot of the same thing that you got.
Yeah.
That person who picked it up, the anti-holistic person, these are people who are afraid that it could happen, because then that means my life could change. And so there's a lot of resistance, and it's based on that fear that it could work.
Yeah, I believe in that wholeheartedly. I feel like it's more of a projection of their fear and their insecurities, yep, and their, yep, dismay at life, maybe, than it is has anything to do with you. But I did see in a video, I'm going to get my notes with it, that, you know, you took a very high risk with going into entrepreneurship, right? So you did acting and... but then I also saw a video about that you had to get a job because you were getting a child. And I actually don't know how I know this information. I'm not sure where I saw it.
Somewhere in my bio. I have a video about how I got into this, because I do talk about how I had been an actor, and I traveled the world doing theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd gone to Hollywood to be a movie star, as one does.
Of course.
Met a woman, fell in love, and got married. And when our first child was on the way, I thought, I might need a backup job.
Yeah.
So did that. And then...
your backup job was something in entrepreneurship still, right?
Well, it was. I mean, I had other day jobs, but I started training for a second career as a hypnotherapist. So
exactly.
That's how I got into personal development work.
Yeah, so still taking risks. So I wanted to know,
it was
like,
not a steady, guaranteed paycheck.
No, exactly.
I've had to do those jobs too until it was no longer necessary.
Yeah, and I had to do that too. So I was wondering, like, how did you manage to keep such a positive outlook on life, and even when things were very stressful financially? Because, you know, you get questions about finances all the time. I get questions about finances all the time. It's one of the things that I've been tapping on the most also is finance, and it really, really helped me. But how do you, not as Brad Yates, the EFT tapping, but you, Brad, how did you handle those stressful situations?
Using these tools, it was tapping along and trusting. You know, I was teaching when I first learned EFT, it was within a couple of years, I was doing abundance workshops while I was still at a day job, you know, not quite minimum wage, but not making a great living.
Yeah.
And had a lot of debt. But I knew I had faith in manifestation and tapping.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it would work. I knew it was working. And so I was using that on myself at the same time, but I didn't want to wait until everything was perfect. because I've met so many would-be coaches and would-be therapists who are like, I can't help anyone because my life isn't perfect. Mm-hmm. I haven't solved all of my issues. Like, nobody has solved all of their issues.
No, exactly.
If we had to wait till we were perfect, nobody would be teaching anything.
No. And also, give me one psychotherapist that's perfect. You know, most of the psychotherapists have their own baggage, I've learned. So that's why they go into the field. So that's an illusion for sure.
All people have issues.
But it is like really simple to say, like, keep the faith, keep the trust. But what kind of advice would you give my listeners that are really struggling with, you know, nothing's working on the outside? It seems like nothing's working. They're visualizing, they're tapping, but they don't see any proof that it's working for them.
Yeah, well, and that's why, as you said, I've well over 1,000 videos. So I have not on every subject yet, because I keep coming up with ideas and releasing new videos. Like, I had a new one come out today.
Yeah, nice.
But I have one on not seeing the results.
Mm.
I have one on disappointed in the lack of progress. So I have videos on manifestation. I have videos on how to deal with the lack of manifestation, or the apparent lack of manifestation.
Oh, great. Amazing.
So it's a matter of, you know, all we can do at that point is, you know, many times we can't work any harder, and there are plenty of people working their butts off and it's not getting them where they want to go. So it's not just working harder. So it's just a matter of saying, okay, again, the most important thing is that you feel good. So looking at it and going, okay, what is it that I'm not feeling good about? And maybe I have this expectation. So I have a video that I did for fun called Tapping for $1 Million.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
And people will write and say, well, I tapped on this. I don't have $1 Million. Okay, there was nothing in the fine print that said 5 minutes from now, $1 Million will magically show up.
No.
But we are dealing with our money blocks.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like when you're in the first grade and you look at people who are in middle school, it's like, wow, I want to be big like that. But you don't sit there and get, oh, well, I woke up again today and I'm still in the first grade. Another day and I'm still in the first grade. It's because things take time.
Yeah.
And there's a process. So it's allowing ourselves to say, all right, I may not be able to see what's happening. But the thing is, if you keep saying it's not happening, then you get out of manifestation energy. And so you're moving away from the goal. Mm-hmm. So you want to say, okay, even though I'm not seeing the progress yet, I'm still moving forward. I still choose to feel great.
Yeah.
You know, if you plant a seed, if you're planting vegetables and you plant the seed and you sit there and go day after day and you don't see anything, and you go, oh, I'm so frustrated, and you dig it up to make sure the seed is still there, guess what? You have to start all over again now.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a certain amount of faith. So it's like, so it may be about tapping on something different. So it's not just tapping on the manifestation, but tapping on whatever feelings are coming up. It's like, what stopped me from feeling good? Because I don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. I'm just putting myself out there. And manifestation isn't all about, I think of something and it has to show up magically. You know, this idea of, if I have to actually do any work for it.
No, true.
You know, if I have to go, if I want a fantastic new outfit, I'm just going to sit here on my couch and imagine it. It's like, no, I'm going to have to go to the store or go online.
Yeah, exactly.
So we want to look at what's stopping me from doing what it takes? What's stopping me from showing up where it could happen? And then tap on that. So we want to look at, what is it that I could be doing? You know, the universe helps those who help themselves. So it's not about, if it's not showing up magically, then law of attraction doesn't work. It's like, no, who told you that?
No, true. This is one of the biggest points I always make. Like, I'm very determined and goal driven and I take action. But then when I really, really want to do energy work, that's when I do the EFT tapping on the limiting beliefs, or I do the visualizations or the hypnosis. That's the energy work, but you still have to take the actions towards your goals.
Yeah.
But you sound to me as someone that was just so determined and so sure of manifestation that you just knew that it was gonna manifest in some way or form, because it did really take a little bit of a different route, because you were manifesting probably about becoming a famous actor, right?
At first, yeah. And then it just, and it even got to a place of, you know, and I was doing manifestation. So this is even before I learned about Abraham Hicks, but I used to visualize winning an Academy Award.
Nice.
Susan Sarandon was always the one giving me the
very specific. I like
yeah,
it.
Had
Are you a specific manifester?
Sometimes. But it wasn't like I would then, but then I would go to acting class and I would put myself out there for jobs. It's not like I'm going to sit at home and just fantasize about winning the Oscar
and hope
that someone comes and knocks on my door and says, you are the one we've been looking for. So, but ultimately the ultimate manifestation is a life you love.
Yeah.
So when I was going through all those things, it was following what just felt right. Following the breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, I get an idea and I'd be open to it. You know, not always, but enough so that I would show up in places and really cool things would happen. Like this idea to go into hypnotherapy, and then the suggestion about, oh, find out about tapping. And so now it's not the drive isn't about money or fame. It's just, I love what I do so much. And I want to be of so much service. I want to get the whole world tapping because I want everyone to enjoy the benefits of that. So it comes from that good feeling place. And I look at my life now. There is no actor out there with a career that I would trade for. It's like,
no.
What makes you
say that?
Just because I love my life so much.
Yeah.
And I love what I do so much. I wouldn't trade places with anybody that I know.
No.
No matter what they might have. It's like, I this is so much fun for me doing the tapping, and especially because it's a very intuitive process and kind of a conduit for ideas when I'm doing the tapping. And like when I'm doing workshops, you know, I get to be in front of an audience, like as an actor. And
exactly.
Yeah. So there's still that performing aspect, but in a way that's helping people uncover the gifts that they are. One of the job titles I've given myself is I'm a gift unwrapper, because everybody's a gift. So I have Michelangelo's David all over the place. Michelangelo said, the statues are already there, perfect, inside the marble. All I had to do was chip away what didn't belong to reveal the masterpiece inside. And that, to me, is the perfect metaphor for what we're doing with EFT. Our best selves, the best version of us that is a gift to the world, is already in there. We're just using the tapping to chip away what doesn't belong, all the fear and doubt and misinformation that stops us, that hides who we really are and keeps us from being who we can be and doing what we can do. And then the having's nice, but it's not the thing. It's the icing on the cake.
I think it's so beautiful what you said with Michelangelo, that the potential is already in there, and the EFT tapping is the tapping it away so it can be made, so you can show it to the world. So that's so beautiful. And I think it's also a very important point that you made here, like the ultimate manifestation is living a life you love. And that is where a lot of people get stuck, is knowing when to let go of something and move into a different direction, I feel like. Because you can get so, you could have been dead set on going to manifest that Oscar with Susan Sarandon. Who knows, it might still happen. We can throw it into the universe right now.
I'm always open to the possibility.
Yeah. But
it's not something that I would put time into at the moment, because I love what I do. So it's like, you know, I thought about, oh, I should go do some community theater, do something. It's like, why would I take time away from these things that I love? And I get to have that performance aspect of it too. Maybe at some point, if it's for my highest good, an opportunity like that will show up and we'll see. I'm open to, you know, I don't sit there and close the door on anything. It's like, whatever is for my highest good, I'm going to keep following the breadcrumbs and trying to go through those open doors.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that that's the lesson that my listeners should really get from this, is that you don't have to hold on so tightly to something that maybe just isn't serving you that much anymore. And the way you can know that it isn't serving is that your gut is just telling you, usually, right? Yeah. So you can just say that your gut is giving you, like, this is not feeling right anymore, but you're still holding on very tightly, while there might be another door that just goes very open very smoothly. Chances are opening up for you. And then that's really where you have to say yes to more things than this thing that you that you are holding on to so tightly. And I think that that's very important to that you said it, this, because with manifestation, it can get so people can get so stuck on this one specific goal, while I think it's just like embracing everything the universe has to offer, saying yes a lot of times, even when you want to say no. I've experienced that myself, just saying yes to a lot of lunches, while all of a sudden there was someone there that gave me a great opportunity, while I was on the couch in my joggings feeling like, oh, I really don't want to go to this thing, but I am going. And that's where the opportunities lie, I feel like. Saying yes more and seeing what it brings.
It's been said that so much of success is just showing up.
Exactly.
And when I have people fill out a client form, and in my goals program, a Tap Into Goals program, and I have people write out what their goal is, I have them write it out. I am so happy and grateful that ... this or something even better.
Exactly.
For the highest good of all concerned.
Yeah.
Because here's what, with my current thinking, this is what I think I want. And it's going to take me in a direction. But as I'm going down that path towards that thing, I may come around a wall and see something that I couldn't have seen before from where I was and go, whoa, that's even better.
Exactly. But you don't know.
And this is how it was with my career. And when I left acting, you know, it's pretty standard that the other actors will say, oh, you're quitting.
Yeah.
You know, and so there was, I got some of that from some people saying, oh, so you're giving up. It's like, no, I found something that excites me even more.
Exactly.
I've been doing hypnotherapy. Yeah. I've been doing personal development and acting alongside each other for about 2 years. And I got to a moment where it's like, I love acting, but this feeds me in a way that acting didn't. Not just because in terms of buying groceries.
Yeah.
Figuratively and literally. But it was like, this is what I'm here for. This is my calling. And acting was what it took to get to where I was going. And it certainly helped me in terms of like being on YouTube. You know, a lot of people hate being on video. It's like, I've been doing this for forever. So
that's where you shine.
it was easy for me to be at ease and comfortable and make jokes on camera. Yeah. So it everything plays its part. There is no wasted time, no regrets. So it's looking at it and going, okay, this is what I'm going for. And I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to be, it's not about her being wishy-washy and saying, well, you're not really committed. It's like, no, I am committed. Until something comes along that it's like, that's even better. But if something comes along that's even better, I don't want to say, yeah, no, that would be awesome. But no, I made a commitment to this. And even though it doesn't compare, that's, you know, darn it, I'm a bulldog and I'm going to stick to what it's like. No, allowing yourself to recognize that the universe is funny that way, that it may say, I'm going to show you this as a draw to attract you. And then I'm going to pull you and I'm going to pull you. And then I'm going to show you something else.
Yeah.
But you may not have known, you might not have been drawn to that at first. You may not have been ready for that. So I need you to grow before you can see what's next.
Exactly. Because you learned so much from the struggle with acting and all the things you learned there, you could put into practice with the EFT tapping, and that took off so well. So I think it's learning to allow yourself to change your mind, right? To follow the path that just feels better and go from there.
Sometimes I think of saying, when people ask me what I do, it's like, I help people change their minds.
Really?
And, funny. Yeah. And the thing is that most people don't want to change their mind.
No.
You know, you talk to somebody about, particularly about something like religion or politics. And it's like, they will not have their minds changed.
No.
But it's true about most things. We don't like to change our mind. We believe that we're right. And we are, and even if we might have doubts, in fact, when the most violently we oppose an idea is generally when we might have some doubt.
That's right. A truth lies. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
If we know something, it's like, I'm not going to fight about this. I know what's right.
Yeah.
But when we fight it, it's like we're feeling threatened. So people don't like to change their mind. But the thing is, you know, there's the old saying, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got.
Yeah.
But if you always think what you've always thought, you're always going to do what you've always done and then always get what you've always got. So before you can change what you do, you've got to change what you think, which means changing your mind.
Yeah.
So that's all of my videos ultimately are attempts to change someone's mind about something. Changing your mind about money, it's not bad. Changing your mind about health, it's not dangerous to be healthy. Change your mind about being in relationships, you can handle it. It's okay.
Yeah.
So ultimately, all the videos are about trying to help people change their mind. What happens is when we think of an opposing idea, we have a stress response. And so we run away from it. And so we don't have that opportunity to change. So using the tapping, we calm down the stress response so that we have more freedom to look at something else. It feels safer to consider another opportunity and go, oh, you know what? That might be okay. That thing I put on my vision board, I could do more than just fantasize about it. I actually could do what it takes and allow myself to allow that and enjoy it.
Yeah, beautiful. I just love tapping so much. Like just talking with you, I just want to do it right now. And we're gonna get into that actually, because I'm going over time as usual. But I saw in a video you posted that you know, creativity hits you and you just pick up your phone and you make a video. And I'm like that as well. I have like a whole list in my phone of ideas, and it's really annoying sometimes, because sometimes I just listening to a song and I have to pause it like 3 times because all these ideas for a podcast come up. So I have this huge list of ideas that I can just go through and record podcasts. It's really, really easy for me, which is the same for you.
Listening to a song, I take a long walk every morning and I usually listen to books on tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll hear someone go, oh, that made great video. So I'll have Siri send myself an email so that I have it saved someplace. And I come back and there's a long list. And it's like, I probably have 1,000, you know, I have over 1,000 videos. I probably have over 1,000 ideas that I haven't shot yet. And it's like, and so often I don't even get a chance to look at that list, because I'll go and I'll come up with an idea when I'm have the camera ready. It's like, and I'll shoot something right there that wasn't even on the list. It's something brand new. That's
exactly.
Like, I never get back to all those
ideas. I love that, because my creative brain works like that as well.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of listeners who don't have that. And I always say, like, it's about putting the right things in your reticular activating system, right? So this, the confirmation bias, as you will. So probably because you and I are very much into this subject, are really practicing what we preach. Self-development is my job. So I read about it, I eat it, I breathe it. It's all my reticular activating system is filtering.
Yeah.
But I would want to do an EFT tapping surrounding creating more creative opportunities or possibilities. Yeah. What would be your suggestion for people who don't have that they listen to a song and an idea pops up, right? That they're still a little bit stuck. It's not in the filter yet.
Yeah. So the extent to which we don't have what we say we want tends to be the extent to which we're resisting it.
Yeah.
So
too much resistance.
We're resisting creativity, or we're resisting what creativity will lead to.
Mm-hmm.
If I had more ideas, I might have more success. I might have more money, and that could create all kinds of complications for me. So it's best if I just don't have any ideas. So I shut down that creative part as a way of protecting myself.
Yeah, true. So what you're saying is that it's still the fear surrounding. If you really put your mind to it and start tapping on it every day and the ideas start popping up, then you have to take, then you might want to take some action towards it, and your whole life might change. So are you ready for that change? That's still the blockage there.
Yeah. And so we don't feel ready. That's why I sometimes interview folks, and I have a show called Get Ready, because as Hamlet said, the readiness is all. And we don't allow things because we're not ready. So it's like, if I'm not being creative, it's because part of me says I'm not ready for those ideas. We're all creative individuals. We couldn't survive if we didn't have creativity.
No, true.
So we block those ideas. And so I have videos on creativity. I have a video on being open to opportunities, because we block ourselves from opportunities because, and this is one of the reasons a lot of people resist money, is because money, it creates all kinds of opportunities. And I'm so bad at making decisions. It's so much easier. You know, it's so much easier to go to a restaurant and just order the cheapest thing on the menu.
Yeah, true.
If I feel like I'm broke, I'm just going to look and order the cheapest thing on the menu. If I feel like I have enough money to order anything, then I have to choose, and I have to look at what the different things are. Do I feel like the fish? Do I feel like the chicken? I don't know.
So much hassle.
So it's much, opportunity seems challenging and you know, at an existential level, painful. You know, to part of us, it brings up stress. So we find ways to shut ourselves down from having that, including blocking ourselves from having money. The reason I love tapping on money is not because I'm, this money greedy person, but because money is one of the results that we get from sharing our gifts. And if we are, afraid of money, one of the best ways to avoid it is to withhold our gifts. Hey, I'm not going to show up and share my gifts and talents with the world, because then they might give me money, and that's wrong. And not sharing your gifts is what I won't stand for.
Yeah.
that is why I love tapping people on money. It's like, I want you to be willing to accept all of the possible rewards of being out there and sharing the gift that you are.
Oh, beautiful. Well, can we do a little bit of EFT tapping on that?
Absolutely.
Because you suggested that. So I think that we should do it on people to keep it as general as possible.
Absolutely.
So to make it around, so that listeners can get creative solutions or creative ideas for any blockage that they have.
Yeah, I think it's...
When
you first mentioned it, I was thinking, really around the idea of being open to opportunities.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to let you take the lead. And for the listeners, when these creative ideas and opportunities are popping up, because they will if you keep at it and keep tapping, you're the one that has to take the action towards it. So remember that. And go watch what kind of synchronicities are coming after this EFT tapping, because I'm sure they're coming.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to tap with you.
Excellent. I mentioned where those points were before. So the first thing where you take our for those of you just listening to audio, I'll describe this if you're new to EFT. You're going to start by taking the fingertips of your index and middle finger of your dominant hand, and gently tapping on the edge of your opposite hand. So right between your pinky and your wrist, right there on the edge. And we'll say a setup phrase, and we'll be tapping there. And then we'll go to these different points. And so on each phrase, you'll switch to a new point. So it'll be the eyebrow point, right at the beginning of your eyebrow. Then follow the eyebrow out to the corner of your eye.
Yeah.
Then right under the middle of your eye, right under your nose, right under your lower lip, right where your collarbones just about come together. And again, you can make a fist and tap that whole area. 4 inches below your armpit. And then with all of your fingertips around the top of your head. So just go through those different points. And if you can't see me, don't worry if you're on the wrong point, because there is no wrong point.
No, exactly. Like,
it's very, very rarely is the wording designed to be attached to a particular point. So as long as, even if you're just tapping one point, you could be tapping one point the whole time and you're still going to get benefits. And there's a growing body of scientific research showing that there are all kinds of benefits to tapping, even if you don't notice. It's like Charlotte, you were saying that every time you tap, you feel a response. Some people, it's so
every
subtle,
time.
They don't feel it. And they say, well, why would I do it if I don't feel it? It's like, well, why do you take vitamins then? Because I've never met anyone who took a vitamin and said, wow, I really felt that. Because the research shows that it has all kinds of benefits. So here we go.
Let's go.
Well, actually, first, what I'd like everyone to do is close your eyes, take a deep breath, assuming you're not driving. And just allow yourself to really be present right now. And I want you to think about what you imagine your ideal life looks like, or one aspect of it. So it could be your life in general, or you could be thinking about your finances, you know, whether that's looking at something that you've bought or own, or looking at your online bank statement. It could be being with a special someone, being in a special place. Imagining some aspect of what you believe would be your ideal life. This or something even better for the highest good of all concerned. And just allow yourself to be aware of what you feel physically and emotionally. And notice where you might feel some resistance. It may be very subtle. You might be telling yourself it's not there. But if it wasn't there, you would probably already have this manifestation or be obviously on your way. So just notice where that might be. Because that's the kind of resistance, that's the kind of energy that blocks creativity and blocks opportunities. So just allowing yourself to be aware of what might show up physically, emotionally. Notice what thoughts, beliefs, and memories might come up. But don't worry about it if they're not showing up. You may not be consciously aware of them. Just allowing yourself to be aware of what you are aware of. Take a deep breath, open your eyes. And tap it on the side of your hand. Even though I might be resisting opportunities, I choose to love and accept myself. And I'm going to say, it's great if you can say it out loud. Charlotte's being quiet because it makes it easier for the audio. But for those of you listening at home, it's we can become more emotionally engaged when we say it out loud.
Yeah, good one. Forgot to say that.
Yeah. No, that's great. It often happens that way. And it's it is helpful for folks listening if there is the silence in between.
Yeah.
But then they might think, oh, I'm supposed to do it silently like Charlotte is.
Say it out loud. Yeah.
Say it out loud. Even though I might be resisting opportunities, I choose to love and honor myself. Even though I might be resisting opportunities, and I may not be consciously aware of the resistance, but I am aware that I'm not having all the opportunities I want. And I choose to be open to the possibility that it might be some resistance on my part. And even though I might have some resistance to opportunities, I choose to deeply and completely love, honor, and accept myself. And maybe other people who have contributed to this resistance. Because I choose to be that free. So now we're going to tap the eyebrow point. All this resistance to opportunities. And going through all the points. All this resistance to opportunities. All this fear of opportunities. Part of me might say, I would love to have more opportunities. I would love to have more creativity. I would love to have more ideas showing up. Particularly those $1 million ideas. Why can't I have a $1 million idea? And part of my mind has a lot of reasons why not. Part of me is saying, if you had a $1 million idea, you could end up with $1 million. And that would be so much trouble. and everybody would be asking you for a gift. And you'd have to pay more taxes. And it's more trouble than it's worth. Maybe I'm afraid somebody would try to steal it. And if I have nothing, I've got nothing to lose. So I might be resisting opportunities so that I don't have anything to lose. I'm just missing out on opportunities. I choose to love and appreciate those parts of me that block my creativity, that resist opportunities, believing that that's necessary to protect me. It isn't that I'm bad or stupid. It isn't that I am weak or lazy. I just have some old programming about why it wouldn't be safe to have these opportunities, about why it wouldn't be safe to have more ideas. And I choose to clear this fear. I choose to clear this resistance. Clearing it at a cellular level. Clearing it all the way back through my past. All the way back through my childhood. Back through all those times in my life where I may have somehow gotten the message that having ideas led to trouble. All these places where I got the message that opportunities can be painful. So I learned to avoid them. I'm not bad at coming up with ideas. I'm brilliant at stopping myself from coming up with ideas based on the belief that that's necessary. And it's not. At least not anymore. Processing these old fears. Letting them go. I can handle being more creative. I can handle coming up with great ideas. I can handle coming up with bad ideas on the way to having good ideas. And it's safe for me to be open to opportunities. And I'm setting myself free to do so in body, mind, and spirit. Take a deep breath. With your eyes closed, again, thinking about that ideal life and just noticing how you feel. And hopefully it feels more possible, more joyful. And sometimes when we're tapping, it's like peeling the layers of an onion. And so you may have just become more aware of, oh, now I know why I stopped myself. This is what I'm afraid would happen if I said yes to opportunities. And then you can do more specific tapping on that and keep clearing those blocks, because there's a world waiting for you. There's so many wonderful things that are possible for you and so many opportunities for you to share what you have with the world. Please and thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, I can say that I'm super relaxed right now. So it's a perfect ending for me because it's nighttime here in Holland. So I'll go straight to bed. I just think EFT tapping is such a magical tool. I feel the difference straight away. It's so relaxing. And yeah, you just feel like more trusting straight away. So I hope all the listeners feel the same. It might help to give your blockage a number before and after. I usually tell them if you really want something concrete, just give the scale from 1 to 10 a number of the fear.
I usually do that, and it was just for this round. It's like, well, we're not going to worry about that right now.
But, no, yeah, I forgot about some things as well.
Yeah, it's helpful to do that.
Yeah, and drink a lot of water after you do it, because yes. I usually get a little bit of a headache, but that's good. Hydrate, because it's mean that you are cleaning up your system and you can get a little bit of a headache with that, or dream really weird, because I've had that as well. But those are all signs that it's working. So watch out for the ideas, for the synchronicities, because they are definitely coming when you are doing this EFT tapping round. Brad, I'm sorry we went a little bit over time, but I want to thank you so much for this interview. It was so much fun. And really, this is just a manifestation that came to life for me. So out of the blue that I'm doing an interview with you. I would have never in my whole life thought that that would be possible, because, yeah, I've binge watched, I think, maybe 3/4 of your videos now. I still have some to go. But yeah, I'm just very, very grateful how this all came to life, and very grateful for you to share your knowledge on here. So thank you so much. And where can people find your videos?
Well, thank you, Charlotte. Thank you so much. It's been a great joy for me. It was a pleasure meeting you in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And yeah, thank you. So the easiest way is at tapwithbrad.com. Yeah. And you can find links there to my YouTube channel, to my other social media things. You can get I have a free 5-day program there. I have a brand new one called Success Beyond Belief.
Nice.
So, you know, it's what's not just success beyond belief, as in there's so much, it's so much, but what is the level of success beyond your current beliefs and allowing yourself to create that? So yeah, you'll find that at tabbrad.com. That's
I'll put it in the show notes.
There. Yeah,
and you also you also do live workshops, because that's how we met, and I was so lucky again that I got a ticket while it was actually sold out. So this was just a pure manifestation at its finest. So you also give live workshops every now and then, but you did the Europe tour now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was, so the Amsterdam workshop was the last one that I've done. I'm not sure yet. I'm still playing with ideas of where the next one's going to be.
Yeah, so keep that in mind, listeners. That's if you want to see him live.
Yeah,
it's on the website. Well, thank you so much, Brad. And I'm going to end the recording now. And for all the listeners, I'm going to do a little bit of a Dutch outro. No worries, just positive things. Dankjewel alle luisteraars voor het luisteren naar Tap with Brad. En laat me even weten wat je van deze aflevering vond. Bericht me op itscharlieschoice.nl. Vind alle informatie in de show notes. En tot de volgende keer.